Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our family are falling apart. We as a nation have totally forsaken.
Oh Lord, forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn our faces back toward you.
To you. This is Pastor Leona Ross with If My People. Welcome back to all of you. I had a medical emergency in my family, so I've been away for a few weeks, but it's so good to be back in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Today, our topic is I shall live and not die. We're still going to be talking about witnessing. But today we're talking about witnessing through adversity, witnessing in spite of the difficult situations we may find ourselves in. Amen. So we're going to start out the praise and worship set today with Sinash, I Know Who I Am, followed by Timothy Wright. Enjoy the music. Remember, I don't own any other rights to this music. It's just for your listening pleasure.
Now
once again, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If my people, I am your host, Pastor Leona Ross. That was Reverend Timothy Wright. I'll be a witness. And before that, you heard Shanash. I know who I am. Again, today's topic is I shall live and not die. Well, Pastor Ross, what do you mean by that? I'm going to live and not die. And we're talking about witnessing. It means that you're going to live and not die. Psalms 118:17 says that I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord, which simply means that whatever adversity that we go through, whatever comes up in our life, we have the capability because of the promises of God, because of all that God has purposed for our life, to live beyond and above those circumstances. Because God promised, he says that I shall never leave nor forsake you. But even bigger than that, even bigger than that, what he says at Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So whose expectation are we talking about? We definitely are not talking about our own expectations, because we know that we make our plans and they don't always come to fruition. They don't always come out the way that we expect them to. And then we have to what? We have to revamp our plans. See, we have to revamp our plans. But God's plan is perfect. Whether we feel like it, and many times when things happen in our lives, we know that, hey, God, you know, if you truly are God, you know, you are a loving and merciful God, then why are you taking me through this? We ask the question many times, God, why am I here? Why have you placed me here? Did you just place me here to suffer? Did you just place me here to keep going through and keep going through and keep going through? Because if it is, then let me die now. I know I've said that at times in my life, but there is a longingness in us, an inward being that craves a relationship with the Father, that draws us back to him. Because every time we get in between a rock and a hard place, the first thing we say, oh, Jesus, oh, God, help me. That's the first thing we say. And it doesn't matter what religious affiliation that we may have, we always say, oh, God, help me. Even if we're atheists, the first things come out of my mind, oh, God, help me. Why? Because there's a part of you down on the inside of you that brings you back to the Creator. Because remember, at the beginning in Genesis, he said he created man in his image. And he blew the breath of life into him. What was that breath? That breath was the Spirit of God blown into you. And after he was done creating everything, he said, let everything create after its own kind, reproduce after its own kind. So that relationship, that connection never went away. You can deny it all you want to. You can say, oh, well, there's no God, or I serve this totem pole right here, or whatever. But the truth of the matter is that down on the inside of you is a part of the Creator, our Heavenly Father, that is always a part of us, regardless of how much we deny it, regardless of how much we don't want to admit it. And when we come into a right relationship with Christ, after we've confessed Christ and we've come into a relationship with him, getting to know him, getting to trust him, we are required to go out and become witnesses to other people. It's not for us to hoard the goodness of the Lord for ourselves, but it's for us to open up our mouths and come and tell somebody else about God. Tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done in your life, because you can't speak for anybody else's life. They can tell you, but only you can tell your story. Only you can tell your story as eloquently and as passionately as it's going to touch that person's heart and know that you are real. Know that you, these are the things that God has done for you. It's not a hearsay. It's coming from the mouth of the one that God has changed, God has healed, God has delivered, God has set free, and have given you abundant life. It's coming from the mouth of the one that God made a way out of no way. See? So that is going to do, like it says in Acts 2, the word pierced their hearts. And they said, how can we be saved? See, how many of you have been a part of something, whether it's a sports club, a group, or whatever, a marriage or whatever, and you heard people tell you because things were going so good for you, ooh, I wish I had what you had. Because they see that good thing, see, and they desire to have that same joy and happiness. So then why should we deny others from having the same joy and happiness that we have found in Christ? I'm not saying your life's going to be perfect. Don't get me wrong. But there are times when you know it was nobody but Jesus who brought you through. It's undeniable. There's no way. There's no way that you can possibly say or possibly deny that it was nobody but God, because you couldn't do it in and of yourself. And that joy and that happiness in having that relationship with Christ, and every day waking up knowing that he will never leave nor forsake you, that he's always going to be right there with you. It's not based on conditional things. It's not based on quid pro quo, so to say. See, if you do this for me, then I'll do this for you and I'll stay with you. No, because if you mess up, God say, repent and I'll forgive you. If my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked way, pray unto me, I will hear from heaven and I will heal your land. All you got to do is come back and ask me. All you got to do is turn around in the place where you left me. See, because God says that I will never leave nor forsake you. That means that we leave God. We leave him. He never leaves us. We are the ones that leave him, because everything might be going good in our life, or we might have gotten that healing, or we have might have gotten that husband or that wife, you know, whatever we prayed, or that baby. You know, whatever we prayed and asked God for, that financial breakthrough, whatever that we have asked God for, that when we were in a chaotic situation or in a hard situation that we just couldn't get ourselves out of, and God came through and blessed us. And we missed the point. We got back to thinking that, okay, yeah, God did that. We praise him for a minute, but then we get comfortable and start thinking it was us. We forget to keep praising God. We forget to keep thanking God. See, we forget to daily go in his presence and thank him just for another day of life. See, we forget to go out and tell somebody, say, hey, this is what God did for me. And I know that he is not a respecter of person, so I'm quite sure that he can do it for you as well. So we get comfortable in ourselves and we forget God. We forget about what God has done, because it's been a long time. See, since we really needed something desperately. See, it's like when you're in a marriage or you're in a relationship and you get comfortable with your spouse, or you get comfortable, as they say, with your significant other, and you begin to take them for granted. It doesn't mean that you don't love them. It doesn't mean that you don't care about them. You just have gotten used to them doing what they do for you. You just gotten used to them being there in your time of need. You just got accustomed to them being there, and you know they're not going to leave you. So you begin to take them for granted. You begin to take for granted that they're going to be there regardless. because so many times they've forgiven you. So many times you've cried together and gotten over stuff and through stuff, and they're still with you. So you begin to forget to say thank you. You forget, you begin to forget to buy that chocolate or buy those roses or just a simple hug and a kiss and say, thanks, baby, I love you. See, sometimes we forget because we become so lackadaisical and so used to that person being there. But God is a God of action. He's a God of relationship. See, he wants us to come to him with his with our problems. He wants us to talk to him daily. As it says in Genesis, he walked with Adam. He came down to talk with Adam in the cool of the day, every single day. And when Adam was missing, he said, Adam, where are you? He was diligently looking for Adam. Adam said, well, I hid myself because, you know, I was naked. Care how you look. He don't care whether you dirty, clean, naked, rich, poor, whatever. He created you. He's looking at your heart condition. He's not looking at your exterior. He already knows everything about you. All he asks is that you bring it to him. Don't run and hide when difficult situations come up in your life, thinking that the sin that you have committed or may have committed is so horrible that you can't come to God with it. Yes, you can. That's what he's there for. Remember, Christ died for the remission of your sin, that everything that you have done, would do, going to do, is already been paid for. See? It's like you have a credit. See? And unlike a Visa or a MasterCard, this credit never runs out. Because everything that you could ever think that you might do, or everything that you could ever get caught up in, it's already been paid for. So God wipes the slate clean. See, so that past sin, those past errors, those past mistakes, those past way of thinking, because remember, when you confess Christ, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. So stop holding on to the old things, thinking that you're not good enough, because you're better than good enough. You're a child of the living God. What could possibly be better than that? See? Know who you are in Christ. Don't let the things of this world, you know, deter you from witnessing on who you are, from letting others know how good God is. See? As it says, as Galatians 6 and 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't faint. Don't get tired. Don't get weary about declaring the works of the Lord. Remember, in Jeremiah 29, he said, I will bring you to an expected end. These are the things that I expect of you. I expect you to be healthy. I expect you to be successful. I expect you to live and not die. I expect you to have an abundant life. I expect you to be the head and not the tail. I expect you to be above and not beneath. I expect you to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not what you think, not how you feel, not how you see things, but how God has ordained and ordered it for your life. See, everything is a choice. Yes, he said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. You have a choice every single day. He didn't say, choose ye this year. He said, choose ye this day. Every day it's a choice. If you made a bad choice yesterday, okay, that's gone. That's in the past. Today is a new day. Make a better choice. Make a better decision. Don't worry about what happened yesterday, because all that's over and done with. We ain't even thinking about that. See, the price has already been paid for the mistakes you made yesterday, last week, last year. 20 years ago. So don't think on those things. And don't allow the enemy to bring past mistakes or past sins to your mind to make you feel ashamed. Because remember, Romans 8, it says, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. There is no need for you to be ashamed. Your life is a testimony. The things that you overcame, the things that you went through, the things that caused you the most horrific pain in your life is a testimony for somebody else out there that is going through that very same thing. You are the evidence. See? You are the manifestation of the evidence in the earth that God will bring you through, that God will save you. He will deliver you. He will heal your broken heart and put you in a new place, a new mindset, a new creation in Christ Jesus, that those things don't affect you anymore. I was talking with somebody yesterday, and they said, you know, it's funny how the older you get, you know, you don't feel so ashamed or so guilty about some of the things you did before. It doesn't make a difference because that's not who you are. That's why it doesn't make a difference. You are no longer that person anymore. So that thing, that sin, that mistake doesn't have any power over you anymore. So you can share your testimony. You can tell somebody about it. You can tell, you know, and you can even laugh about it. Say, this way I was, but that's not me. You know, it's funny now, but back then it had you caught up. It had you feeling bad. It had you feeling ashamed. But today it's a testimony for somebody else. Let me tell you something. We go through things in our life. All the chaotic, all the tragedy, all the different things that we go through that hurt us to the core. That is to make us stronger. We might feel like at the time, I don't want to live no more, contemplating suicide, you know, because you just can't undo the hurt. But even attempting the suicide, not one, two, three times maybe, and you're still here. I'm still here. It wouldn't work. It didn't work. And you wake up cursing God, saying, God, why do you still want me here? My life is horrible. Why am I still living? Well, if all those suicide attempts had succeeded, guess what? You wouldn't be sitting here listening to me now. I would never have become Pastor Ross. See? So the strength in that, I had to be strengthened for ministry. I had to be strengthened for when people say, oh, I don't believe in women pastors. And my response is simply, I don't care what you believe in. I'm the manifestation of the earth. The evidence is right here in front of your eyes. It don't matter whether you believe in it or not. I know who I am in Christ. And those things don't tear me down and tear me away from ministry. Yeah, it was heartache. It was hell growing up. It was. Just being a black child in America, coming up in a dysfunctional family, it was hell. See, it was hell. Make no bones about it. But 40 years later, when I came into Christ and came into a relationship with him, I began to understand why the trials and tribulations. I begin to understand why I had to go through all of the hurt, all of the rejection, all of the molestations, all of the rapes, all of the broken marriages. Because see, as a pastor, you're going to touch every part of someone's life when they come to you to confide in you, to cry on your shoulder. And you have to be man or woman of God enough to edify them and to lift them up out of the trenches of their sorrow, hurt, pain, and brokenness. You cannot be a broken pastor. I'm sorry. You cannot have someone there crying on your shoulder, commiserating, and you commiserating with them talking about what you went through. That, I'm sorry, that's not the time, no. You're not there to compare stories. You are there to edify the body of Christ in whatever manner God sees fit. And he will give you the words to strengthen them. God is going to speak to you and give you the necessary words that they need right there in that time. Because remember, he said, I will never leave nor forsake you. We are guided by his spirit. If you are indeed guided by his spirit and not by your emotions. We hear about tragedies every day that go on in different people's lives, that go on in their families. And we are compassionate. We are sorrowful. It hurts us when other people are hurting. But we are not to respond out of our emotions. We are to respond by the Spirit of God, that they might be uplifted, that they might be edified, that they may not leave us the same way that they came. Remember, the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. They come to you for hope, regardless of what they caught up in, regardless of what sins they have committed. They don't come to us for a message that, oh, well, you did this. You know you're going to hell. What are you telling them? You're telling them that there is no redemption in Christ Jesus. And Christ never gave that message. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him might have life, eternal life. He gave up everything that he had, that people, that men, every boy, man, woman, and girl who confessed his name might be saved. Stop telling people that lie that they're going to hell. Who are you? You not God? The church should never have a hell message. The church should always have a message of redemption, a message of salvation, a message that, yes, there is a way out. Remember the woman caught up in adultery? What did Christ tell them people? All of her accusers. He said, you without sin cast the first stone. What did they have to do? They had to put their rocks down. Everything that they were saying about her and accusing her of, regardless of what their eyes saw. Christ said, you without sin cast the first stone. They couldn't cast no stone. Because all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So what right do you have to condemn somebody else? You don't. The Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. See? So nobody should have a hell message telling people you're going to hell like you own heaven and hell. What's wrong with you? No. He said, go ye out into all of the world and proclaim this gospel. Not complain, not to proclaim hell, not to proclaim and uplift somebody's unrighteousness or somebody's sin before the whole body of Christ, like some have been known to do. Not to make anybody feel bad or ashamed. But proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ and this word, which was in the beginning, which was of God and from God, will pierce their hearts. And they will say, how might I be saved? They will choose Christ this day. They will lift up the name of Jesus Christ. See? They will begin to say, oh, I want to be saved like them. I want a relationship with God like you. Because I see the way that you're living. I see the way that you carry yourself. I want to be a woman of God like you. Or I want to be a man of God like you. I want to love people like you do. When you fully display the image of Christ, when you fully are a witness for Christ. It's not just about giving your testimony. It's about how you live in every single day. It's about how you are living. How are you living before the people, outside the church, when you're not in your pulpit, when you're not in your Sunday best? How are you living? What are you showing the people? How do they see you? Are you the same person on Sunday morning as you are on Monday morning when you go to work? Or even Sunday afternoon when you go home and you're in the midst of your family and friends? Are you the same person that you was at church service? Is your life a witness for Christ? Or is it just lip service only? That's not what God is living, is looking for. He's looking for us to be the epitome of who he is in us. Remember, he said he created us in his image, but going through the birth canal, being born in sin and shaped in iniquity, we lost that connection. And it has to be restored by confessing Christ and coming into a right relationship with him, getting back to know him. That's why I say getting back to our place in God. Because remember, at the beginning, we were a thought in his mind. We was with God in the beginning, before we became flesh and walked in the earth. We were with him until our appointed time to be born into this earthen vessel. But down on the inside of us is still the Spirit of the living God, our Father which art in heaven. So he wants us to truly be in his image, not in lip service only, but to have his characteristics, to love unconditionally, to forgive with a whole heart, to see his people as he sees them through the eyes of Jesus Christ. It said when God looks on man, he doesn't see their sin. He no longer sees their sin. But he sees his son, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. And what father doesn't love his son? What mother doesn't love her child that she forgives them? Regardless of what they do, regardless of how they mess up, your parents still love you. If they're decent parents, they still love you regardless. Even when they can't admit it, they still love you. Just sometimes they just don't know how to show it. They just don't know how to say it. But having that relationship with Christ, we learn to have compassion for the brethren. We learn to have compassion for mankind. We learn to love in spite of. That means in spite of what they do to us, in spite of how they treat us. We truly have the love of God down on the inside of us. And we're always constantly looking for opportunities to bless people. Because God is always looking for an opportunity to bless us. That's what he means. He said to bring you and expect it in. He said, it is my good pleasure to bless you. What does that mean? I am always happy. I am always pleased. It brings me joy to bless you. It brings me joy to see you happy. Nobody wants to see their child unhappy. And remember, we are children of the Most High God. We are children of the Most High God. And don't think that there won't be times when you feel that you're being punished. No, you're not being punished. You're just being corrected by the word of God. So you don't go astray. Spare the rod, spoil the child. See, because God already said you can't serve him and mammon. You can't have it both ways. You got to make a choice. So when things begin to fall apart, because you've forgotten your relationship with Christ. You forgot to give him honor and the glory that he is due daily. You've forgotten to do that. See, and things begin to fall apart in your life. And you're wondering why. Well, when was the last time you prayed? When was the last time you told God thank you? When was the last time that you just reverenced God? See? Maybe that's why things starting to go downhill, but they don't have to stay that way. They don't have to stay that way. Remember, give him glory. Give him honor. Give him praise. Tell somebody about what he's done in your life. Live in a way that brings God glory and honor and praise. Live in a way that causes people to say, how might we be saved? And that don't mean you have to go all around with this religious spirit when somebody say, oh, how you doing today? Oh, blessed and highly favored. Okay, we know that. We can see that. No, I really want to know how you're doing. I'm doing good. You know, my bones hurt a little bit, but all in all, I'm doing good. Just learn how to talk to people in just the English language. Being so religious and sacrilegious all the time. Learn to talk to people. Because you see, a lot of times that's what scares people away from the church, especially this day and time, and tell them they don't want to be a part of organized religion. Because we have all these traditional things. And we're telling a new person who's never been saved or who's never been to church or has been out of church a long time, well, you know, you can't wear your dress above your knees and you got to have on pantyhose and you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to have your head covered. No, 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 baby, just come. Come as you are. Meet Jesus when you get there. Because they may not have all that stuff to wear. And number one, they're not going to understand if they've never been taught and they've never really been to church. They're not going to understand why they need to do all that. They're not going to understand that. No, so don't come with your little religious spirit trying to witness somebody, invite them to church, and then telling them what they have to do. And no, you just come as you are. If jeans is all you got, shorts is all you got, and tennis shoes, baby, come on. Just come and be in the presence of the Lord. The Lord will provide. And as God changes and blesses them, you will see the outward change, but the inward got to be changed first. That mindset has to be changed first. And you have to give people time. You have to give people time for God to affect the change in their life because those minds got to be changed. All they know is what they know. And it's not going to change over one invitation to church or one church service. It's not going to change like that. Think back on when you got saved. Think back on when you first came to church. Think back on how long it took you to comply with all of the ordinances of your congregation or your specific church doctrine. Think how long and how you fought against it. Like, oh man, God don't require all that. It don't take all that to be saved. I ain't doing that. Just outright blatantly rebellious. I ain't doing all that because I ain't got to. See? How long did it take you? How long did it take you to come in a right relationship with Christ into the obedience of his word? How long did it take you to be able to pick up your Bible daily and to study his word? To remember to get up in the morning and just pray and thank God for another day. How long did it take you to obtain those habits? Put all that on a new Christian, on a new soul, because they don't know. Allow God to develop them in the way that he wants to, in the way that he needs to. See? In the way that he needs to, not the way you think it ought to go. Because some people going to go A, B, C, D, you know, and some people going to go A, G, Z, H. It's going to be how he planned it for their life. And some people going to hopscotch in and out until they get it. But your job is continually love them, continually encourage them. Continually pray for them. Because no man is perfect. And you can't expect them to be. And you can't look down on whatever they're caught up in, whatever sin they may be operating in their lives. Pray against those demonic spirits that they are totally and completely delivered from them, that the enemy doesn't continue to run roughshod over their lives. We didn't quit smoking weed the first time we went to church. Heck, we was in church smoking weed after church. Saturday night at the club, going to church the next morning, or drinking, or whatever your vice may have been. We didn't just quit the first day or the first year or the second year that we started going to church. Come on. So how can you require that of somebody else newly coming in? They are not you. That's the first thing you need to realize and witness into new people. They are not you. Your testimony is your testimony. It's only for an example that God can and will bring you out of any and every situation in your life. That's what it's there for. It's an example. It's not a blueprint. It's not the way for someone to walk because he brought you out that way. He may not bring them out like that. They may come out faster or later than you did, but it doesn't matter when. All that matters is that they do. That's just it. However God sees it. We have to stop as clergy, as pastors and leaders, you know, trying to impress upon others the way that we think that they should go or the way that we think that they should be delivered, because that's not what God is saying. It's not what he's saying. It's not what he's doing. He's not going to do it that way. You are just a vessel that he is using to reach his people. Now, the cleaning up part, that's all the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to cleanse the temple because we can't. That's not our job. Not our job to condemn them. Mm-mm. Not our job. See? Because God, by his Holy Spirit, he will convict them the next time they go and want to pick up that drink or pick up that cigarette or whatever their vice might be, whatever their struggle may be. He'll unction them by his Holy Spirit while they are yet sinners. How many of you, before you were saved, you were about to do something, go somewhere, and you would hear a little voice, "Nah, you don't want to do that." And you didn't do it. And you find out sometime later, maybe the next day or years later, that the thing that you was about to do, if you had did it, could have cost you your life. Could have put you in a situation that you may not have been able to get out of. And you say, "Ooh, thank God I ain't go over there. I thank God I didn't do that." The same way, that same way that God unctioned you is the same way that he's going to unction them. Be prayerful. Be mindful. It says hell enlarges itself daily. I think it's time out for that. I think it's time that God's kingdom enlarges itself daily. I think it's time that the people of God truly show that we are indeed of Christ, of God, and there is more to us than the singing and the shouting amongst ourselves. I think it's time that we truly go into the hedges and highways and proclaim this gospel. I think that it's time that broken people and children know that there is a God somewhere that is a very present help in the time of trouble, that is still concerned about them. But how will they know? As it says in Hosea, how will they know unless they have a teacher? Who's going to teach them? Who's going to show them the way? Through loving kindness, not condemnation. not with boasting and bragging. A testimony is never about boasting and bragging. A testimony is that. It's just that. It's just telling somebody about the hardships that you were in and God brought you through for his glory, not for yours. You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything so great that you uplift yourself before the eyes of men. No, you never do that. No, it's not a time to brag about the stuff you got. No, it's never that. It's always about saving souls. It's always about getting a sinner's attention to turn his face toward the living God, not you, because you are not the Savior. Don't get so, you know, as the scriptures say, you ought not think more highly of yourself than you should. Be wary of that. Be wary of that. Yes, rejoice in Christ. Yes, proclaim the message joyfully, but above all, with humility and loving kindness. Because there's a lot going on in this world today. People are proclaiming stuff that is definitely doctrines of devils. And there's a lot of hatred going around in the world. The spirit of murder is running rampant. Disillusioned, and they are disheartened. But it's nothing that has not ever happened before. As Ecclesiastes say, there is nothing new under the sun. But where is your arsenal against every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy? Where is your arsenal against the wiles of the devil? It's in the word of God. It's in you proclaiming Christ and the power of God therein. That's your arsenal. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Moving on. Moving on as a demonstration of God in the earth. Mind you, I said a demonstration of God, not God. Because there are people walking the earth right now talking about their gods in the earth. In their own mind. He said we were made in his image. He didn't say we were God. That's not what the word said. We can only demonstrate his power. We were only vessels or servants of him that he uses to let people know that he is yet concerned about them, that he is yet alive and well and moving in the earth. And if it takes him to break a heart, to get a person's attention, then that's what he going to do. Like, remember, you can't love, you know, I gave you your wife. I gave you your spouse. You cannot possibly love them more than you love me. He told Ezekiel, your wife's going to die today. She's going to die today, and you can't mourn for her. You got to be about my business. You got to go and tell Israel what saith the Lord. Imagine that. God telling you, hey, your spouse is going to die today and you ain't got to mourn. You got to go preach a message. You ain't got time to mourn. So we can't love our house, our cars, our spouses, anything more than we love God. We have to put him first. And the first thing Christ told us to do is to proclaim this gospel throughout all of the world. He said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power. So it's not something that we can't do. For all those of us who proclaim that we are of Christ and in Christ and the Holy Ghost dwells within us, there is nothing impossible for us. It's just that, you know, you just don't do it. Because God before you, who could be against you? That person in the grocery line. Your coworker sitting next to you, you know that girl going through a hard time. Off of Christ. They may not receive you the first time. But let me ask you a question. That man or that woman that you was interested in, How many times did you go? Did you take no for your first answer? Or did you go back another time and try a new way to say it? To introduce yourself, to become a part of that person's life. Did you just give up? Or maybe it wasn't a man or a woman. Maybe it was a job. Maybe it was an opportunity. Maybe it was something materialistic that you wanted. Did you take no for an answer the first time? Then I have a question for you, saints of God. Why is it that when it comes to witnessing, when it comes to telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, why do we take no for an answer the first time? Do you truly believe? Or are you at the point where you just say, oh, well, that's them, I'm in. That's selfishness. You can pray in a way that will change the king's heart, that will change that person's heart, that God will touch them and give them a mind to hear that which you have to say about his kingdom. Remember, he said, anything that you ask in my name, believe it so, I will give unto you. The Bible says the angels rejoice in heaven every time a soul is saved. So you got to keep speaking. You got to keep living. You got to keep pressing. Don't die in the process. And what I mean by die, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep speaking. Keep reaching out. Keep talking. Keep encouraging. Regardless of how many times they say no, keep inviting. Keep sending those scriptures on Facebook, in Messenger, on your phones. Keep sending them encouraging scriptures. Hey. Good morning, was thinking about you, said a prayer, have a blessed day. It don't got to be no long inaugural speech, just a few words of encouragement to let them know that somebody's thinking about them. Just to get their day started. Or that they have a peaceful night's sleep. It don't matter the time of day, it just matters that you do it. That you're mad that you are automatically and daily and consistently proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you're continually letting the light shine so that God might be glorified. And I'm telling you, just like the brick wall that God had to tear down to get to your stony heart and rebuild a new heart, just like that, eventually those walls are going to come down. And they're going to accept that invitation. They're going to welcome a conversation about Christ. Why? Because you didn't give up. Because they see that you truly are concerned about them. Because you know how I treated you? How many times I wouldn't take your call? How many times, you know, I acted like I just didn't want you to talk to me and you kept coming? You must really be a man or woman of God, or you must really care about me. If Christ didn't give up on you, then why would you give up on them? Amen? Amen? Live and not die in the midst of difficulty in your witnessing. Understand that God is yet. Show that same persistence to somebody else, because you never know whose life you might touch. Amen. This has been Pastor Leona Ross with It's My People. Today's topic, I will live and not die. We will be right back here on next week with another topic at 12 noon. We had a little delay this morning, so I had to restart the show, but we will be right back here at 12 noon next week. And I pray that you all have a very blessed week. I pray that this word has touched your heart, has touched your mind, has touched your soul. Remember, it's not robbery just to tell somebody about Jesus. We're going to go out of here with J-Rod Nurse. Tell somebody about Jesus. Have a blessed week. Love you all.
Come on, come on, let me tell somebody about Jesus.